Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to Sikkim 365 Radio. It's time for our weekly segment with John Machota of The Athletic, brought to you by Pioneer Steel and Pipe, where customer service is their main focus, and Best in Metal Steel and Pipe for large or small projects, with two locations in Waco and Bryan, family owned and operated since 1943.
Sliding.
The 5 o'clock hour is sponsored by Edward Jones Investments with financial advisor Brad Wilson, investing his time and experience back to you and your money during today's changing times. Edward Jones, making sense of investing.
Now here's David Smoke, Paul Catalina, and Craig Smoke.
All right, it's 5 o'clock hour, 5:30, Tweety Carter, former Baylor All-American. He'll join us today on Sikkim 365 Radio. John Machota, so good to have OTAs, mandatory, whatever you want to call them, and he joins us now. And John, how much do you get done? What do you watch for? Do you watch for who's taking reps? Do you look for who's not there? Somebody off on the side? Any particular players? How do you handle covering the OTA?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a mixed bag because when we first get there, you know, that's usually just, you know, kind of taking attendance, making sure everybody's out there while knowing that, hey, some guys can come out maybe 10, 15 minutes later. So that's usually where it starts at. And then you're kind of at mercy of whatever they decide to do that particular day. And so once they, you know, if they're going to do some team drill stuff and Dak's going to be out there with the ones and things like that, then that's where like all your focus is at. And the other thing is too, is where they have us, we're kind of we're in behind one end zone. So a lot of the stuff the offensive and defensive line does in individual drill wise is all at the far end of the field, so it's a little bit harder to see exactly what's going on there. But generally speaking, this particular year, it's been a lot of watching Dak and just seeing what Dak looks like, you know, how everything's evolving with him and Gallup and CeeDee Lamb mainly because Amari Cooper's been held out because he had a foot surgery in January and won't be back until training camp. So, yeah, it's mainly that stuff. And then the other one that just jumps out at you, you're just constantly find yourself watching Mike Parsons just because, hey, that's the first round pick. And it seems like every time you watch that defense, they're moving him around and putting him in different spots. So, yeah, a mixed bag, really. But to answer your question, it really comes down to whatever they choose to do that particular day.
Do you think Randy Gregory will get an extension in the middle of the year if he plays like he did at the end of last year?
You know, I really don't. I think they'll wait till the end of the year, and I honestly think that he will give the Cowboys a team-friendly, you know, discount. I really do. I just think that if everything keeps going in the direction it is right now, I think he's really happy with where he's at. That's not to say that they won't have discussions during the season, but I think if things are going well, I don't think they're going to want to mess with it in the middle of the season. I think they're going to want it to just keep rolling. But I'd be very surprised if, like, Randy Gregory, even if he had a huge year, was like, all right, see you guys later. I'm going to see if I can get top dollar out on the open market. Like, I really genuinely feel like he really enjoys being with the Cowboys and, you know, feels like his best ball is still ahead of him, and he wants that to be with the Dallas Cowboys. And I genuinely think he really likes the teammates he has here and things like that. So, yeah, I guess if it got crazy and he had 10 sacks in the first 7 or 8 games, hey, maybe you see something in the middle of the year because they want it, both sides want to get it done or something like that. But it, you know, talking to Randy the other day when we had him, I didn't really get the feel that it's a big part on his mind. I think he's more focused on whatever he wants to show it on the field, and then all that other stuff will take care of itself. So, I just don't get the sense that he's going to be looking for, just the absolute biggest deal, no matter what team it is, come the offseason, regardless of how well he plays.
John, I saw Dak's comment about being mentally over the injury and that he's going to need some help in getting over that. He's kind of directing that at the media. Do you think the line of questioning changes for him and maybe people get more away from the injury questions, or is that just too big of a storyline to be able to do as a member of the media?
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I can tell you this right. I can tell you this right now. His actions will be what allows it to happen. If he's out there when we get to training camp and he's playing well and he has these, you know, the practices we've gotten to see, then there's no reason to sit there and keep talking about that stuff if he looks like his normal self. But if he's struggling, whether it be on throws that he normally would make, he's not, you know, maybe he doesn't look as mobile, something changes, then it's going to come back to the injury. Like, are you 100%? Are you back? I mean, that's just the way the question is going to be. But if he looks like normal Dak Prescott, like we've seen, you know, certainly these last 2 days, then yeah, it'll go away with that. But if there's anything that looks like it's limiting him or heck, if, you know, here's the thing, while he's done just about everything during these OTAs and mini camp, he hasn't done anything with a pass rush. And so there's going to be times once we get out to Oxnard where there's going to be guys that are going to, you know, be near his ankles and rolling around. Now they're not going to be trying to tackle him on the ground, but you know, accidents happen. There's going to be stuff like that. And then you get in that first preseason game, you know, you'll probably see some action in one of them at least. And, you know, there's going to be a situation where there's somebody around his feet and things like that. And, you know, those are other stepping stones like that you have to see in this process. And obviously he doesn't want to say that to us and like, well, I still got to see if I can take a hit and things like that. But that's also going to be a part in his mind too. I mean, just it's just natural as a human being that, well, I'm interested to see what happens when I take this next hit, you know, because you're not going to get it. I mean, it's not like he's in his backyard at his house getting tackled by guys. It's not like he's out here getting tackled by guys. Like, it's all like a lot of drill work and stuff. So until that stuff happens, you still don't know 100%. But I will say, off of what I've seen throughout OTAs these last 3 days of minicamp, he certainly looks back to being the Dak Prescott he was before the injury.
We mentioned we had Danny White on, John, at 4:30 earlier this afternoon, and he was talking about the first time he has to scramble and move to his left, even if he feels good. You know, is it going to force him to maybe change the way he would take on a defender or launch himself in the air or things that made him special, you know? And that's going to happen. And maybe he can just go about doing that. But you wonder if that affects him initially.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of factors like that. And to be honest with you, it's not just him with health-wise. It's like, he could have a lot of that stuff and maybe not be 100% back. But if you tell me Tyron Smith's healthy and Lyle Collins is healthy and Zeke's healthy, and then you have Gallup and Amari and CD out there, I don't think he, and Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz, like there's just so much potential on this offense that I don't even think he has to be playing at a Pro Bowl level for this to be a high scoring machine. So, yeah, some of that stuff will factor in, particularly late in games, like close games, you know, where it's like, you know, you're going to want to, you know, your body just kind of does what your habits are. You're not thinking, you're just going. And so, yeah, that'll be interesting to monitor and stuff like that. But I just feel like when I look at this team, if they don't have the injury problems that they had last year, you know, this offense has just got so much potential that I don't even think Dak has to be as absolute best of his best for them to execute on offense. Now, obviously, the defense has to be a lot better.
Connor McGovern played pretty well down the stretch when he finally got playing time at guard when they decided to, you know, kick Zach Martin out. And Connor Williams, you know, obviously, you know, played, he was the only offensive lineman who played the majority of the year. Is this a make or break year for Connor Williams? Do the Cowboys feel good about replacing him if maybe he doesn't live up to that potential as a second round pick?
Oh no, this is a big year for him. I mean, everything that I've seen with the ones, he's been out there at left guard. I don't see this being a, I went into this offseason thinking it'd be kind of a competition between Williams and McGovern, but I don't see that being the case now. They're going to give Williams, you know, every afternoon, as long as he's healthy, he's going to be the starting left guard. And so, you know, it's a big year for him, obviously, contract year. And if he plays well, he's another guy. I don't see him trying to get out of here for the absolute highest dollar. Like, I think he'll prefer to continue playing alongside Tyron Smith. And then, you know, as Tyler Biadasz grows in his role, you know, as the starting center in his second year. So, yeah, it's a huge year for him. And it's fourth year. And so by now, you know, you should be playing some of your best ball. And so, you know, yeah, all eyes are going to be on him. And as you guys know, I feel like for this offensive line over the last couple of years, he's been kind of the one that people have, you know, pointed to the most, you know, and pointed out his mistakes more than others just because of some of the situations. And heck, he's had some games and, you know, several games where he didn't play well. And so he's kind of been the guy that, you know, if he was on a normal offensive line where there may be some other guys that, you know, weren't all pros or, you know, highly thought about, then maybe the spotlight wouldn't be on him so much. But yeah, there's going to be a lot of eyes on Connor Williams. And if he is the struggle, then they're in a good spot because Connor McGovern looks like he could be a solid player at either the guard spot or back up at center if needed.
John, I know this is so early to even discuss it. It's June. But other than Dak at quarterback, who is the most irreplaceable player other than him?
That is a good question. I immediately jumped to Tyron Smith. I just think there's a big drop off after Tyron at left tackle. I just don't think that, you know, I don't think you'd want to be messed around and moving Lyle Collins over there and then moving Zach Martin out to right tackle and doing all that stuff. Tyron Smith piece is key. And then the other part of it is that if you were to lose him for an entire season or let's say half the season, like, I think they'd be fine for a few games with Ty Nasecki, who they signed, you know, as a free agent swing tackle. But I don't think you want him out there, you know, starting many games. And I also look at Tyron because, you know, with him talking to us the other day about how getting this neck surgery has just helped him so much also with his back. And now he really has this goal of playing, you know, quite a bit longer, 4 or 5 more years. I mean, I just think that losing him would be, it's hard to replace a guy like that. And at that big of a position. So that would probably be the one that I jump to immediately because, you know, the wide receivers are talented, but they are in a position where even if one of their wide receivers went down, their wide receiver group is still are really good. Blake Jarwin looked like he was going to be their starting tight end last year, and he was to start the season. He gets hurt, and Dalton Schultz stepped up. So there's actually a little bit of depth there. You know, the linebacker position, they've added a lot of depth there. You know, I mean, I guess on defense, the player would be DeMarcus Lawrence because I think he's clearly their most talented defender, but overall, after Dak, it's got to be Tyron.
You know, I know the backup quarterback has been a, you know, constant point of consternation, but you could make the argument that it's easier for the quarterback to step in than it would be for somebody to step into Tyron Smith's shoes, given the weapons that quarterback would have. And we saw it a little bit with Andy Dalton last year in that they've got enough weapons to where if you protect him, he can make something happen on offense, as opposed to whenever the Cowboys have lost Tyron Smith, it's like the whole building's on fire.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I really think if Tyron Smith is healthy all of last year and, you know, even without Dak, I think the Cowboys end up winning the division. And I don't think they're going very far in the playoffs, but they at least win the division and instead of being like, you know, a 6-10 team. So, yeah, I agree with that. Now, I do think Andy Dalton is, without question, better than Garrett Gilbert. And so there's a little bit more of a drop-off there. Like, I think if Garrett Gilbert's your number three, I think you're really, really good shape. But I still don't know if Dak was to go down and you got to go to Garrett Gilbert 6-7 games, like I just don't think your chances of just like keeping everything going are in great shape. I think you can fill in for a game or two, but I guess that's the biggest thing I'm getting to is like I told you guys before, I don't think they're done at quarterback. I really don't. Like I think they're going to be kicking tires and keeping their eyes open. I think Will McClay's going to have his eye on all 31 other rosters to see if, you know, guys get caught or there's other opportunities to try guys out. I don't think you can just go ahead and, you know, get off the marker and say Garrett Gilbert's the backup quarterback for 2021.
Gardner Minshew, make it happen.
I just realized this. Hey, John, have you received an email from Whitney about training camp, credentials, things like that?
I have not. No. Okay. They're still going through that process. Like everything points in the direction that they're going to go, but I think that there's still like some, you know, T's to cross and some I's to dot in terms of with the league, but it certainly appears like all systems are go that, you know, they would be out there, you know, who knows, like you know, July, you know, later end of July, you know, maybe around the 20, 25th, somewhere in there. And then, you know, be out there until, you know, whatever their last preseason game before they come home. So, I would say right now, if I'm betting on it, that they're going out to training camp, and it'll be, and, you know, obviously things will be different. They don't want to grab guys coming off the field, but I would say right now that I'm certain. I mean, me personally, I'm planning on going out there.
Yeah, we have to decide on what we're going to do. They have the Hall of Fame game in August, and how that, you know, it always has interrupted things. But thank you, John. Appreciate your time. John Machota, go to with theathletic.com and the Cowboys on many things, the OTAs, and eventually some of the position battles. Most irreplaceable player. Your thoughts at 254-339-1122 and now Hayden.